So I guess the first question we have to ask is about setting up. Thoughts on it?
My thoughts are, on reflection, obviously played a part to the outcome of the game, but I'd rather focus on the positive from the overall performance in terms of discipline and consistency and underlining of the game plan put in place. We had to change it slightly, obviously, with the change, but the outcome was very positive in that regard. When I'm just looking at the stats here, and you have to forego possession when you lose a man, that's standard. But to have more shots on target than Melbourne Victory away from home, to create four big chances in that period of time as well, to their zero. As I said to Fox out there, Kevin will see the game differently and he'll see it from a possession perspective, which is natural. But I'm looking at those stats there and they're suggesting the away side was a better team overall in terms of chances created.
So from that, do you sort of need more to have that chance going around Thomas that last? How's he feeling after that?
Morton's an outstanding contributor, and the fact he joined us on the back of no pre-season, I don't know if you're aware, but they have winter breaks over there as well, so he was sitting in Dubai on a holiday when he got the phone call from us. So for his contribution to the level he gives the squad is outstanding, and he's a great mentor for the young players also off the field. But more importantly, there's no ill feeling for me towards him in regards to that outcome, considering the positions he plays for the squad. Yeah, Daniel's will be devastated, but I look at the outcome of it and I look at the decision based upon it, and I think it changed the game, the red card, but the early yellow card affects the mentality of the player. It happened, I think, the other night. I think Bruce Kamau got booked last night in the first part of the game, and it affects his mentality, he spoke about in the press conference, and it affects the player. But ultimately, it's more about the support he gets as an individual from his teammates and the discipline they show in reaction to that. Because although he got sent off tonight, he was contributed to the week in terms of training and the outcome of the performance, and we maintained a point.
Yeah, two settings off today. We had no idea what Strachan was sent off for.
To be honest with you, I was at the other end of the technical area, so I'll speak to Jess. So I can't comment on that just now, but I think the next question you should ask is the offside ruling for Bruce's goal. I think that was poignant in the context of the game. So one shot on target was result in an offside ruling from the linesman, and I'm sitting where I am and I knew it was offside straight away, irrespective of our positioning. Granted, I'll give credit to Bruce and his movement off our central defender's shoulder, but we need to defend the source better in terms of pressure on the ball, but it was an offside decision. So it's a 1-0 outcome in reality. Let's get something clear. Newcastle have had a challenging few years, but we're not a group of individuals that want handouts and expect pity from anybody. We're in there now very disappointed, knowing we've taken the club with all the resources, a championship winning side with history and expectation, right to the end. And then I review the stats post game and we dominated it apart from possession. Well, let's not beat around the bush here. Small Newcastle Jets took Melbourne Victory all the way. So I'm very positive about the future of the club.
Can I ask you what your views are on Victory? I mean, we're all down here scratching against what's happened to them over the last few months. Do you have any ideas of how the team's transformation to Victory?
Listen, I'm not going to sit here, and I appreciate your question, but I'm paid to comment on the future and progress of Newcastle Jets, and it would be wrong for me to comment on another club. That's not my right. I think the outcome and the source, the decisions, two or three mistakes always contribute to an outcome of something. So you look at not playing forward when we could. We look to play back and rotate at the decision to put Daniel in a vulnerable situation led to the outcome of it. So, but as I said, the yellow cards, the innocuous ones, and I said to the bench, I said, that will haunt us. Immediately I said, that will haunt us. I don't know why, I just had a feeling that will haunt us, and it did.
The immediate future's got three games, 9 points, I think 7-6. Last week you said we weren't going to give up till it's all over, mathematically, I suppose, so is that still the same attitude?
Until you write in the Herald tomorrow that it's mathematically not feasible. We'll continue to work with the preparation and attitude I've seen this week. I've seen a group that are really focused, not only the next fixtures, but rebuilding and the continuation of it. Now, I know some people may be bored because they see it as a backdrop of defining what we're doing here, but the outcome of what I saw when I arrived here to where it is now, it's nice to see people enjoying their football and developing as footballers.
I know you get asked this question a bit up there, but just because we don't see much down here, just how impressed have you been with the boys' turnaround sort of post that January sort of transfer window sort of period when it seemed like the wheels were falling off a bit, but now there's just sort of been a resurgence?
You know, it's funny because people always, I kept on reading that we hadn't won in 10, but it wasn't as if we had lost 10. We got valuable points away to Adelaide. We got valuable points against good opposition away from home and at home. But it was just that extra quality in the final third that was letting us down. So yes, granted, I was frustrated, everyone was frustrated, but we're paid here to find solutions, not be frustrated and find excuses. So we looked at it positively, we trained hard, we stay committed, and the defining point was a number of things for me, but the attitude never changed. Their attitude and preparation to their training week was outstanding, and things change. And I don't know if you know this, but there's actually a formula for luck. And it's preparation and attitude, recognising an opportunity and acting in it. And that sounds fancy, but it's true. There's no luck in football. It's regarding your preparation and attitude leading into the fixture.
Just going back on that Parisian goal, do you have an opinion on the A-League's officiating? I mean, those kind of situations are the first time it's happened this season, goals being given that shouldn't, goals that haven't been paid. I mean, do you have a problem with the officiating or anything overall?
Problem's probably the wrong word. I see it as the hardest job in football. Everyone says it's the managers, but imagine two managers plus 20-odd footballers having different opinions. So they've got a challenging role. Expectations of my role, I can improve, referees can improve, players can improve. That's the way I see it. And for Australian football to improve overall, we need to stay focused and help each other and support each other. It was mainly a tactical thing. In terms of our generic setup, it's been pretty consistent. And I thought today the missing link with Ansell, and obviously a change with Deng playing alongside Del Pierre, the mobility of Leonardo and Morton may affect those two in terms of rotating and playing one off each other. And I thought that was quite poignant in the early stages of the game, and unfortunately we have to put Morton back into the wide areas and his GPS is now through the roof on the back of it. So, but that's life.
Regardless of the outcome in terms of finals or not, given what the club's been doing the last few years, you're still stressing how important it is to make sure you finish on a high note, given, you know, if it's easier to sell memberships and
yeah.
Sort of packing into the new season.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad you asked it, because it's very important that people see the bigger picture. And I'm here to improve the football team, but people's direction at the club needs to be the same. They need to maintain their focus now in terms of the support for the club, financially, commercially, and keep driving it, because we're nowhere near competing with clubs off the field, but we can do it on the field at this point. So I'm very excited about the future in regards to when we can compete off the field and the players we can bring to the club and how the players that we developed the previous or the current squad also. Cheers, guys. See you later.
Welcome, Jets fans, to another edition of the Jetstream Extra. We have another special edition of the Extra this week. I'm here with a Newcastle Jets captain. No, it's not Nigel Bugard. We're actually here with Dimitri Leolio Davis, captain of the Newcastle Jets Power Chair football team. How are you, Dimitri?
Yeah, going well. Yeah, really well. Glad to be in Newcastle.
Mate, thank you for taking the time out to chat with us today. We're here at the wheelchair...
The Hunter Disability Sports Expo, yeah.
Yeah.
Having the first one ever, so...
Well,
we got invited, so that was great.
So it's really happening down here at the university today, and mate, I'm really grateful that you could take a bit of time out of your busy day to chat with us.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Thank you for having us on here.
So, you're a power chair footballer.
Yeah.
Talk to us about what you do and the rules of power chair football.
Okay, basically, we play on a basketball court. So it's like indoor, because our chairs couldn't go on the grass and rip up the pitch and the turf. We wouldn't want to ruin that pristine surface. So
yep.
We play on a basketball court. It's 4-on-4, so you've got a goalkeeper and 3 field players.
Yep.
Seeing there's so little players, we can only have certain formations, but
yep.
You sort of have a 1-1-2 or a 1-2-1, I guess you could say. There's not many variations, but everyone mixes and matches a bit, but you still have your holding midfielder slash defender, and then you got your two forward players. We play, yeah, like I said, 4-on-4. We don't have an offside rule.
Yep.
In place of that, we have a rule called the 2-on-1 rule.
Yeah.
Where two players from one team cannot be within 3 metres of the ball when there is one person on the other team also within 3 metres of the ball.
Right.
So it makes the game very 1-on-1, and if that wasn't in place, you would have six chairs surrounding one ball in the middle and no one wanting to give way or no one wanting to move.
Yeah,
so it makes it very 1-on-1. Someone will go in for a challenge.
Yep.
If they win that challenge, well, it's a turnover in possession and you keep going.
Yep.
If they lose that challenge, they basically have to clear out so someone in a better position can come in.
Okay.
If it's too quick, you'll get the 2-on-1 automatic indirect free kick.
So the history of the sport, is it an Australian developed sport or is
it... No, it's been around for a very long time. Don't quote me, but I'd like to say at least maybe late 70s, early 80s.
Yep.
In France, I think it started.
Right.
And it was very different where they played on a much smaller court. They had sloped barriers instead of the ball going out of play like actual outfield football.
Yep.
So the ball stayed in play. It would sort of roll up the barrier and come back down. They played with a basketball, not a specially designed football. But over the years, it's evolved. And now it's at a stage where over 26 countries are playing around the world. South America has a confederation. North America has a confederation. We're in the Asian confederation. So, yeah, it's going big. And hopefully it will be the first power chair team sport in the Paralympics.
That would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Look, and you mentioned about the ball. It's not a traditional football that you're playing with.
No.
It's something that you probably describe as a little bit bigger than a beach ball.
Yeah, well, it's 33 centimetres, I think, in diameter. So it's meant to be 1.5 times a regular ball, but it looks almost two times as big. And the only reason for that is the fact that if it's too small, it might get caught under chairs.
Yeah.
If it's a little bit under pumped, you don't want it going underneath a chair and flipping someone over. So it's more than big enough so that it cannot get caught anywhere, and that's the only reason that it's bigger.
And you've got your barrier on the front of your chair here as well. You probably don't want it ending up in the front there either.
No. The ball is not allowed to rise more than about 40 centimetres off the ground when we play. It's kept along the ground.
Yep.
So if someone generates enough power with a spin kick, we call it, where you do a big 360 in the chair and hit it like a baseball bat would hit a baseball. If it does rise, it's just a set ball.
Yeah.
So it's basically like a face-off. The ref puts the ball in between two chairs, 3-2-1, blow the whistle, and then play resumes, basically.
The goals. Talk to us about the goals.
So they're 6 metres wide, so they're really long. So if they were any smaller, two chairs could park in front, and then that's it. You wouldn't be getting any goals with the ball not being able to lift. So they're very, very long, I think.
Like Chelsea parking the bus almost.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
we're going to get on to Chelsea. We've had a bit of a pre-chat before.
That's right.
We'll get on to Chelsea a bit later.
But, so they're 6 metres long. We have the box around that, just like a normal penalty box.
Yep.
Fouls in there, penalties. We've got our penalty spot. Basically, everything you see outdoor, we've got it, but we just do it indoor.
Great. And look, that's excellent. And there's a video that's on the Newcastle Jets Power Chair Football
Facebook. Yeah, there's plenty. We've got some of on the Today Show. And
yeah, that's the one that I've seen.
That's really good. That was excellent time. All the whole crew from the Today Show came down and the Jets were there and all the other teams. We've got Mariners and we've got the Wanderers Power Chair teams and Sydney FC. We all there, had a good laugh, got the Today Show crew in the chairs. And they couldn't believe how good we were because they just thought it was unbelievable, really.
I'm certainly not going to take you on. I'll get shown up. So let's talk about the Newcastle Jets. The team there, they're looking to defend their cup title. So there is a league and there is a cup.
Yeah.
So similar structure, I guess, it's sort of a cross between the A-League
and
the English Premier League style and FA Cup style set up. So the Jets won the cup last year.
Yeah, we won the cup and we got equal top points in the league but lost on goal difference because we're a bit like Chelsea and we parked the bus a bit. We can't score as much as Sydney.
So the other teams involved, you just touched on them briefly.
So there's all the New South Wales-based A-League clubs support one of our power chair clubs. So at the moment, the league is only 14 big, so we're lucky that there's 4 New South Wales-based A-League clubs. Blacktown Spartans, which is in the local area we're placing, we play in Mount Druitt.
Yep.
They support the juniors because we have a juniors comp.
Wow.
This year the competition is changing a little bit where we are actually having a second division.
Yeah, okay.
It won't be four teams, so the A-League teams won't have four second division players because we don't have enough players.
Yep.
But the second division is for where new players who see the sport want to have a go, but they're a bit scared to jump head on with the big boys that have been playing for a long time. So we'll have a second division, and Blacktown Spartans help out with the juniors, so I'm sure they'll help out with the second division as well, give them jerseys and stuff like that.
Yep.
So we can use the local clubs as well as the A-League clubs. But yeah, we've got four teams. We've got the Sydney FC Power Chair team, the Wanderers Power Chair team, the Mariners Power Chair team, and of course us, the Jets Power Chair team.
Of course, and it's good to see that we're on top. And
yeah,
that's really interesting that you talk about the second division as such. It could certainly be an opportunity for the likes of Canberra, who have a W League team.
Absolutely.
As them to
absolutely
start to sponsor.
Yeah.
So Canberra, if you're listening,
yeah,
jump on board.
Jump on board. Get in contact with someone.
So let's go a little bit further into the derby.
Sure.
I expect that the derby's pretty spiteful, and there's going to be some added spice this year because one of the Jets players from last year, Christy McCarthy, she's gone back to the Mariners.
Yeah, so Christy started at the Mariners, and then she came over to the Jets, and now she's gone back to the Mariners again. And, I mean, as it is in a derby, it's always heated and it's always passionate, but for some reason, they just seem to be our bogey team too.
Right.
Because no matter how...
Like the real Jets.
Yeah. No matter how bad or well they're playing, the games are always tight. And it's just like a typical derby, really. Like,
yeah.
It's they lift and we drop, or we lift and they drop, and it just always seems to be really close. So now that Christy's gone back, the thing we're worried about, she might take some tactics back with her. But,
oh, no.
Nah, but we should be okay. It's going to be a really good season, and hopefully we'll do just as good as last year.
So when does the season start?
Well, it starts on the 2nd of April. We have a development day. So basically on the first Saturday of every month, we have the juniors come in, and some of the senior players from each of the club will come out and do some training drills, play a friendly game with them. We'll be out on the court with them, but we won't really be hitting the ball.
Yeah.
It's more guiding them, because the youngest junior is 3.5.
Yeah.
It's the cutest thing you've ever seen. This little 3.5-year-old zipping around in his wheelchair. But the oldest is 12. So
yeah,
we've got some ones that really are showing potential that they could move up.
Yeah, okay.
They'll definitely be in second division, and they could, I think one or two of them might even be moving into first division already. So at that young an age,
wow,
they can get involved. And so that will start on April the 2nd. And then our actual season for the first round will be April 30th, because we've got a couple of weeks break because there's some other wheelchair competitions going on.
Yep.
And too many players would be missing from their squads, and it's
yeah,
no fair playing against teams with players down. So they'll do the training session, then we'll have 2 weekends of non-competition games where you can go out, the courts are booked, so you can practice, but then April 30th is when we kick off for good.
Fabulous. Well, I look forward to seeing how the team's going to go this year. But it has been a busy off-season for you, not just signings and new signings. We didn't touch on, actually, Christy's replacement, Nick Newham.
Yeah,
talk Nick to us about him.
So Nick found out about wheelchair sport during the middle of last year, during another sport that's also played at the same venue, wheelchair rugby league that we have.
Yep.
And Nick's a big rugby league fan, but also enjoys soccer as well. And we saw Nick sign up to one of the clubs there at the rugby league, and he started to hang around us, and he saw that soccer kicked off after the rugby league.
Yeah.
So he'd always hang about and say, oh, this is pretty interesting. And while the Jets would warm up, we had no issue with him coming on the court and warming up with us, getting a feel for the game.
Yep.
He already had a guard that fit on his chair, luckily, so
yep,
that we popped it on, and he'd warm up with us, and after we'd warm up, he'd say good luck and stay around and watch us. And I guess the stars aligned. Christy left and there was a spot.
Excellent.
And he's really interested in kicking off. He's young, he's talented, and I think he can be really, really good, a really good fit for
what
us.
What position do you think he's going to play?
Mainly, I think, up front.
Yep.
Because most of the bulk work in our sport is done by the midfielders.
Yep.
And to come in fresh and never play the sport and be put straight into midfield, it's daunting and
yeah,
it's a bit difficult. So up front, he just gets to make the runs, be in the right position, wait for the pass and basically finish. And at the A-League Championship that we had, our first ever A-League Team Championship at the start of the year, Nick came on in, I think, his first game, because he missed the early game. He didn't
yep,
make it in time.
Yep.
But in his first match, which was our second game, he popped 2 amazing goals that, like, I couldn't even believe it, really. So I think he's got a big, big future ahead of him.
So let's talk about the A-League Championships. The Jets participated in that with the other three local, New South Wales based teams. As well as Manchester City and Brisbane Roar.
Melbourne City. So Melbourne City and Brisbane Roar came down and up, I guess.
Yep.
And then we had our four teams, and we had a three-day round robins, and then the top two teams, because there wasn't enough time. Whoever came first and second went straight into the finals.
Yep.
And we played okay, but we, I don't know, I guess we weren't as prepared as we should have been, I guess, being the first one.
Yep.
And at the time that it was just after, it was the 6th of January, so we didn't have time to train because people had Christmas commitments, New Year commitments, so we sort of came into it fresh. Nick hadn't trained at all, apart from warming up with us the season before.
And he pops in this great goal.
Yeah, and he's dumped into a game straight up in the A-League Championship. So
He just goes off and goes, well, this isn't so hard. What's all this about?
I mean, we didn't lose. Oh, actually, we lost one game, sorry, to Queensland Roar, who are just a step above everyone else because...
It was a very late second half goal.
But really, really late. And we held on. It was just a mistake. But,
they were the eventual champions.
Yeah, they flogged... I think Mariners 8-0 or something in the final. So, but we missed out on the final by goal difference. And I sort of wish that we pushed ourselves a bit more because we thought we were eliminated. So in one of the games, we didn't really score as many as we could have. And had we have gone a bit harder in the game that we thought, where we thought we were eliminated, there was a major upset after that, which would have allowed us to get through to the final. So we're sort of kicking ourselves there, but we played well. For what preparation we had, I think we really played well, and next year we'll definitely be more prepared, and I'm almost certain we can make the final.
Okay, so I'm going to go over the results here.
Yep.
You started off with a 6-0 win over City. You scored three and assisted three.
Yep.
A late second half goal saw you lose 1-0 to Brisbane Roar in the second game.
Yeah.
The third game, you had a late second half goal as well that was costly against the Western Sydney Wanderers, 2-2. You again scored one goal and provided the one assist. The final game was a 3-3 draw with the Mariners, the bogey team, in the derby. You again got one goal and one assist prior to thumping Sydney 5-1 with one goal and three assists in that final game. The Jets finished third and you were named MVP of the tournament. Congratulations.
Thank you very, very much.
How'd that feel?
Really, really good, actually, because whilst I feel I've been playing well, I've never actually won an award for it.
Yep.
And it's not that you go after the awards because I'm absolutely all about the team.
Yeah.
But it was really nice to finally get some recognition.
Yep.
And again, I couldn't have done it without my teammates, especially I have to mention James Kim, my goalkeeper.
Yep.
Because in our sport, you're only allowed two defending inside our own box.
Yep.
And it's always me and James in the box defending, and half the things that I get and that we do, it wouldn't be done without him because we have great synergy between ourselves, and we barely even have to communicate. We just know what each other's doing.
How long have you been playing together?
Ever since it started. So the competition started in 2010, and James has been a lifetime Jet, apart from one season where some things happened that the Mariners didn't have enough players and he got taken off us, not by choice, but for the sake of the competition, the board made a decision that the Jets had one too many players and we had to lose one.
Yeah.
And not by choice, they took James. We would have liked to have talked about it and organised who we dropped, even though none of our players would have wanted to leave. Yeah. But we call that his season on loan. So he was still a Jet, but he was on loan. So,
he was a mole on the inside.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I guess on a personal note, you've represented New South Wales. You've also represented Australia in the Power Chair Football.
Yeah.
What's next for you to achieve?
Well, next year there's our second World Cup that Australia will be attending.
Yep.
It's in Florida in July 2017. So
you need a good season this
year. Yeah, that's basically it's having a really strong season. Hopefully some of my teammates have a really strong season so I can have a couple of them in the New South Wales squad with me. It's all about that. Getting selected for New South Wales, buckling down and focusing really hard on Power Chair Football this year, playing well for New South Wales, and then hopefully getting the call up to go next year to Florida, to the World Cup, and improve Australia's ranking from 7th.
Great.
I really want us to move up the rankings.
I'll jump back if I can to an earlier question. Are there moves for the likes of a Melbourne Victory, an Adelaide or a Perth to have a team entered in the comp, or
What's attempting to happen is that they run their own comps.
Yep.
So up in Queensland now, they've, after all these years, just gotten enough for three teams. So they've actually started a three-team league.
Yep.
I mean, we only have four in Sydney, and that's the number one. So by all means, they can do it with three. It doesn't matter how many teams you have. It's just getting it up and running. So every state should have their own teams, and hopefully supported by the A-League clubs and the local clubs around that area. So Melbourne City, I know, have gotten on board excellent with those guys down there.
Yep.
They're trying to get Melbourne Victory, and at least they can have two teams down there.
Yeah.
But it's about getting the profile up and the image up and the word out there. The Queensland League, even though the Raw sponsors them on a whole, their club teams are actually Gold Coast City.
Yep.
I think there's a Strikers team, so like sort of like a Brisbane Strikers sort of team. So it doesn't. Even, it's great that the Raw are on board and sponsoring them as a whole, but there's nothing stopping people from running
their
smaller local competitions. Yeah, but every state should theoretically have their own competition.
Look, I think let's give credit where it's due. It's fantastic that the A-League and the Jets, Sydney FC, Western Sydney Wanderers, Mariners, the Raw, and City, they're all giving their licences up and allowing you guys to use it.
Absolutely. We wouldn't be where we are without that support.
It certainly helps the promotion of the sport.
Absolutely.
So, you're sitting here and you're in your inspiration, your brand new
inspiration. That's right. Last week we received them, so it's good timing.
What do you think of the kit?
I love it. I actually specifically asked for the white one.
Yep.
So, we were happy to get it. And Stacey at the Jets that does the jerseys there, she's been great in the off-season.
Yep.
We asked for numbers on the chest, which you don't normally get on a Jets kit, but that's because most of the players have their back against the backrest.
Yep.
And you can't see their numbers and their name on the back.
Yep.
So I thought it would be a nice touch to get the numbers on the chest. So the team didn't know. Maybe James knew, but most of the team didn't know. So it was a really nice surprise that they got it done for us, and we're going to look excellent.
That is fantastic. And Newcastle Jets, good on you again for supporting these guys and helping them out. Let's talk about the Jets.
Yeah.
You are a Jets fan.
Yeah, long time since the beginning. My uncle was CEO when they first started, so yeah.
Ah, so George.
George Leal,
yeah.
Yeah,
right.
My uncle, yeah, my mum's brother.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perry, so you have family ties with the club.
Yeah.
What have you thought of the boys this season?
I mean, of course we'd all like better, but they're doing as good as they can, they're doing as good as they can.
Certainly an improvement from last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's been your standout performer?
Oh, I think Birigiddy. It has to be, doesn't it? I don't want him to go anywhere, but yeah, it has to be him, I think.
Look,
unbelievable. Unbelievable in goals, some of those saves that I've seen him do this season. It's excellent.
If you go back and have a listen to some of the podcasts, we've been raving about Birigiddy. Not so much because of his saves, but because his saves have been crucial enough to actually not just win us points, but also keep us in games points.
Yeah.
Stephen Jagakovic, I guess he's in that holding midfielder role that you play.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
you know, do you reckon Stephen could come and take a couple of pointers off you about...
I think I'll be taking them off him, wouldn't I?
I don't know.
they've been good. They've been good. Hopefully next year's even better.
Who's been your all-time favourite, Jet?
Oh, that's a tough one. I did used to like Adam Griffiths a lot when he was there. I used to like him a lot. And he was close friends of my uncle and the family, so he was always around them. And yeah, I always liked Adam Griffiths. Don't mind Joel Griffiths.
We had Joel on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, number 50. We were lucky enough that Joel joined us.
Emil, when he joined, that was exciting, so I really liked that. But,
probably the biggest profile player that we've had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not the biggest player we've had at the club, to Jardel.
Yeah, that's right.
What would be your favourite game that you've been to or watched for the Jets?
Well, I remember one year I was at a hockey camp and it was right when they won.
Yeah,
and I remember not wanting to do the hockey training because I wanted to watch the game. So I snuck off and it has to be that grand final win back then. That's definitely my favourite moment.
Mate, I think that's the game for most Jets fans.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's others. I quite enjoyed the 5-2 win over Sydney, in Sydney.
Yeah.
Zankovic just running over and giving it big ones to the Cove.
That was excellent. Fantastic. Absolutely.
I was at the ground and got Harry Hill to sign my jersey when we played Adelaide, and Nick Carl ran the entire length of the field and hit it with the outside of his boot from outside the box and passed. Oh, this tests me. I think it might have been Gulekovic then, or it could have been Beltrami. I don't know. Sure.
We'll have to go back and
I'll have to go back and have a look. So, you are also a Chelsea fan.
Yes.
Tough season. Sadly. I'm sitting here in my Liverpool kit.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's Liverpool all reference.
All smiles compared to my Chelsea. Yeah, very tough.
Oh, that's because we beat United yesterday.
Very, very, very tough season this year.
Right decision to let go of Mourinho?
I don't know. I can't say whether it's yes or no because I did like him. Well, he's definitely love-hate with everyone. I don't think you'll find anyone that's in the middle of the road with him. They either hate him or they love him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who am I to judge them? They have their manager carousel.
Yeah.
And it's worked. And they've won all these years. So
they have.
I mean, it doesn't matter who it is, I guess, in that job. But if changing gets them results, that's what they're going to do. And what's to say that keeping someone the same person for how many years, Arsene Wenger and Arsenal? Yeah. That doesn't matter. So I think I'd rather our Champions League and our multiple leagues
we've lost all the Arsenal fans.
Yeah, that's right.
Conte is the favourite, I guess.
Yeah.
Would you be happy
with I'm looking
like
forward to that because I really like Paul Pogba and I hope he can convince him to come over, but I don't think that's happening.
All right, well, mate, I've kept you for too long.
No, that's fine.
Let's wrap it up there. If people want to join, or if people want to come watch Power Chair Football, where do you play, and how can they find out more?
Well, we play out at Mount Druitt in Sydney, so it's a Sydney-based competition. We play every Saturday of the 6 months of the year, so from April through to maybe around September.
Yep.
Although the first Saturday of every month, like I said, is for the juniors, so there's no competition games.
Yep.
So make sure it's not a first Saturday if you want to come out and watch. But yeah, we're playing every week, no bye rounds. Maybe for a long weekend, there might be a weekend off, but it's always up on our Facebook page. So if you want to follow, just look up Newcastle Jets Power Chair Football Club on Facebook and we're there. We've got a Twitter, but it's not too active. The Facebook's definitely much more active than Twitter, but follow and keep up with the results. They're posted every week with a little mini match report and goals and the times. James is good at that. He loves all the stats. So James is our goalkeeper and stats man and everything. So
James is a man unto my heart.
I'm the
stats man for the Jets. So.
Yeah. He loves it. Yeah, he's kept stats since we started playing and everything.
Excellent.
He's got totals for career and he updates all our page with our player profile. So yeah, he does a really good job there.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned the Facebook page, you mentioned the Twitter, any other social pipes that you
not really. You can look up Australian Power Chair Football Association, so that's how you can keep up with if you're in another state or anything, or if you know people in another state that might want to get involved.
Yep.
You can always message the page there. We also have the New South Wales Power Chair one, so if you want to message there, there's plenty of Power Chair pages. And if you want to follow the national team, we're the Powaroos. So not the Socceroos, but the Powaroos.
That's awesome.
So the Australian Powaroos have a Facebook page as well.
All right.
For next year's World Cup and the lead up to that, I'm sure there'll be a lot of activity.
I guess I really encourage all Jets fans. I've been a follower of the Power Chair Football Team Facebook page for quite some time, and I always look for the results of a weekend, and I'm excited when we get up. And look, I encourage everyone to jump on Facebook and give them a follow.
Yeah, absolutely. Come out and watch if you guys can.
Yeah.
It'll be nice. It'll be really nice.
Dimitri, thank you very much for joining us on the Jetstream today.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. All right, guys, thanks very much, and I hope you've enjoyed this special podcast. See you all during the week. Bye.